Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Altus State and Local Tax and Advisory Podcast Series. Today we're speaking with Mark Wood, a director with Altus Group, as well as Jennifer Kyerlieber, a manager with Altus Group, and both of these executives will be giving us an update on the latest when it comes to the property tax system in Texas. And Mark and Jennifer, how are you both doing today?
We're great. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having us.
Doing great, Matt. Thanks.
Excellent. Oh, it's our pleasure. Thanks for the time. And let's jump right in. So, Mark, let's pivot to you. Can you give us an overview of the property tax system in Texas and how it differs from other states?
Sure. Well, let's start with taxable value. In Texas, the taxable value is equal to market value. And we use the Standard Appraisal Institute definition, which is the price at which the asset would trade between a willing buyer and a willing seller in an open market where there's no duress or ulterior motives involved. So since we have an annual reappraisal system here, it's the job of the county to assess every property inside the county at market value as of January 1st of that year. There's no ratio here that's applied to the value, so what you see on the tax roll is theoretically full market value, and you can actually estimate your taxes by taking that value and simply multiplying it by the combined city, school, and county tax rate. In Texas, that rate hovers around 2.5%. Actual tax bills usually issued in late September through October, and those have a delinquency date of February 1st of the following year. Everybody has the right to appeal their value each year, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a couple of minutes. But by far, the most difficult part of the equation is estimating market value. The county tries to set market value like any appraiser would. They look at market rents and expenses to use in valuation models, and they look at sales also. But this is where Texas is unique. We're one of the few states that has no law that requires disclosure of purchase prices, and also there's no requirement from the county that we submit income and expense data prior to an appeal. So you can probably guess where that leaves us. In a decreasing market, owners are much more willing to share purchase prices and financial data, but then they're just as reluctant to disclose that information in an increasing market. So the county, in effect, gets pretty desperate, and it turns into a bit of a wrestling match between the county and the property owners as far as getting that data. And like in a wrestling match, the county has certain moves that they try to make to force the property owners to submit income, expense, and sales data.
That's great. Appreciate those insights, Mark. So tell us, what entity is responsible for setting the assessed value?
Well, about 35 years ago, each of the jurisdictions, meaning the city, schools, and the counties, were responsible for setting the market values for the properties that were within their individual boundaries. It was just a really inefficient system because the jurisdiction boundaries overlapped, which meant there were multiple sets of appraisers basically valuing the same properties. And at times that could create wildly varying values for those individual jurisdictions. So in 1981, the legislature decided to set up what they called an appraisal district system. Each county has a single appraisal district, which basically is an office of appraisers whose sole responsibility is to establish market value for every property in that county. And they're required to keep those values at 95% of market. And there's actually a state agency that reviews the work to ensure they're in compliance every other year. The taxing jurisdictions still have sole control over the tax rates, but they have no say anymore in the taxable value.
Great. Thanks for sharing those insights. Let's pivot over to Jennifer. So, Jennifer, what is the tax appeal deadline in Texas?
Okay. As far as the tax appeal timeline, the appraisal districts begin at the start of the year, and throughout the spring, they're formulating their assessed values, and they're compiling all of their data and looking for all the sales and the income information they can find. Then they issue their value notices in April or May. From that point, you have 30 days to file an appeal. Typically, the statutory deadline is May 31st. And once you file your appeal, the informal hearings will begin immediately, where we are able to go in and discuss with the appraisal district the value prior to the actual appraisal review board hearing. In June and July, those appraisal review board hearings are scheduled, and they wrap up usually by July 25th. So the administrative appeal window in Texas is pretty short, with the deadline to file the appeal May 31st, and then the hearings wrapping up by July 25th.
Got it. So you mentioned that the appeal deadline was of March or May 31st. Can you tell us about the appeal process then? And we'll shift to Mark for this one.
Sure. We have three levels of appeal in Texas. After a protest is filed, most appraisal districts set up what they call an informal hearing, as Jennifer mentioned. And the goal of that hearing is to see if we can find some common ground and maybe come to an agreement on a value. In that meeting, we typically meet with an appraiser and provide rent rolls, income and expense statements, and market data that supports our opinion of value. And the appraiser also presents his information and the basis for how they determine market value. Most of the time in that meeting, after we provide the information, the appraiser will use that information and feed it into their model and make some adjustments on that model. Then from there, it just basically becomes a discussion of give and take, and we talk about market rent rates, cap rates, et cetera, until either we agree or we hit an impasse. If we come to an agreement then with the appraiser, both sides typically sign a settlement form, and then the value is set for the year and we're done. And in many counties, at this level, we can resolve as many as 90 to 95% of our appeals. And a lot of that depends really on how much leeway the appraiser has with his managers. After that level, if we don't come to an agreement, then we take the appeal to what's called the Appraisal Review Board, known here as the ARB. And the ARB is typically a panel of three independent citizens chosen to hear both sides of the case and make a ruling on it. The ARB is much more formal. Both sides are given the opportunity to present the case and then also the opportunity to rebut the opposing side's case. And the length of those averages anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour, and it really just depends on the complexity of the case we're presenting. After that level, after the ARB, we can take the property to litigation. And there's no, should mention, there's no state level of appeal in Texas. You go from the county to county litigation. And I'd say about 10% of our appeals go to litigation, and about 100% of those cases are settled prior to trial. Also, once we get into litigation, it's really common for the market value argument to be waived in favor of an equal and uniform appeal.
That's great. That's a perfect segue into the next question. So what is the equal and uniform appeal, and how does it differ from market value appeal? And we'll go with Jennifer for this one.
Okay. Well, Texas is one of the few states that allow us to appeal a property's value based on equal and uniform. In a perfect world, all the properties should be assessed at market value. And if that's the case, then similar properties are assessed with similar values. If a property is assessed higher than comparable properties, then you have the basis for equal and uniform appeal. And equal and uniform is also known as the equity appeal in Texas. Often this is the case with properties that have recently sold. If the appraisal district is chasing after the sale and puts a higher value on a property that's sold but hasn't increased the value of the surrounding similar properties, then that is a very good case for an equal and uniform appeal. And this due process is very important because it levels the playing field for the property owner. Otherwise, that property owner is burdened with a much higher tax expense than its competitors, and it's less able to compete in the marketplace.
Interesting. Great. You know, this has been a very enlightening podcast, and appreciate your time today. Before we sign off, is there anything else to add, anything we may have missed?
Just a quick real-world example on equal and uniform might be helpful. We had a Class A multifamily property that was purchased for over $20 million in 2012. And we mentioned earlier that there's no disclosure of sales here in Texas and that the appraisal district has methods of trying to get that information. So as Jennifer mentioned, I think when they see a transaction occur, then a lot of times they'll come out of the box with a very high value. And that's what happened in this case. The value in 2012 was $13 million. The appraisal district renoticed that for 2013 at $17 million. We went through the process, the informal, and then the board of review, but didn't get any relief there. 2014, jump ahead, same issue. The property is noticed at $16.9 million. We go through the informal process and the review board. Didn't have any success there, so we litigated both years. And at the end of the day, we settled the litigation at $15 million, which turned out to be about 76% of the purchase price, and the client saved about $90,000. So I guess just to reiterate, with the equal and uniform, even if we have a client out there that's purchased a property and the purchase price looks far and away above the assessed value, it is still definitely worth the effort to take a look at least at the uniform and equal appeal process.
That's great. What a perfect way to end this interview. And thank you for that example there, Mark. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive interview with Mark Wood, who's a director with Altus Group, as well as Jennifer Kyer-Lieber, who's a manager with Altus Group. And as we mentioned, both executives were kind enough to share their insights and give us an update on the latest when it comes to the property tax system in the state of Texas. And Mark and Jennifer, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.